But y'all say that. That one's drilled deep to left field.
Welcome back to the Couch Talk Podcast. Today we interviewed former Wisconsin basketball player Vito Brown. He went to two Final Fours during his career, and he's preparing for the upcoming tournament, TBT tournament, tomorrow. You could find him on ESPN at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, it was a really fun interview. We talked with him about what life is like during the pandemic, what it was like playing in the Final Four, along with the upcoming TBT tournament. So here's Vito Brown. Enjoy.
Vito Brown here with us today. Thanks for joining us, as always. How's it going, man? How's life in the pandemic?
Right. Probably not too different from most people out there, you know, just trying to figure out what to do on a daily basis. A little bit boring, yeah. But it's given me some time to, you know, step back, reflect, and, you know, just try to grow the different crafts that I'm into. So it's overall, it's actually been pretty good.
When everything first started, did you take some time off from basketball, or did you stay in the workouts? How'd that all work out?
2 days. I mean, our season got canceled, or it got suspended like March 12th or something. Then we were pretty much there for like a week after, because, you know, they were still trying to figure out what was going on, what was next. And then when I came home, like I said, it took 2 days off, and then I entered summer grind mode right away.
So has it been tough to find like gyms and places to work out? Because I know I've been following a bunch of the NBA players, and some have had trouble finding places to work out and stuff like that. So has that been a challenge for you?
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on where you're at. Luckily for me, I'm in a small town, Bowling Green, Ohio. So like, things weren't too different. Obviously, you know, you couldn't sit in restaurants and stuff like that. But my high school coach actually has a barn with a that's like got a half court in it, a shooting gun. So I was fortunate to have access to that the whole time. But sure. I know a lot of people did not have that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the LeBron James stuff on Instagram?
Yeah. I empathize with him on another level that people don't understand. Yeah.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So with everything going on, I mean, you look at how everything's going on with the NBA right now. Obviously, you have some stuff coming up with the TBD tournament, but what are your thoughts on the NBA? If you were in this, like, if you had to be told you're going to this bubble in Orlando, would you go?
I mean, it's tough, but at the same time, it's like we said before, everybody's struggling. Everybody's trying to figure out what this new normal is going to be. They're NBA, so they've got access to a lot more resources than you and I. I feel like, I don't want to say they can't complain. Obviously, you know, being locked down anywhere for 2 to 3 months, whatever it is, that's tough. But if it's in Disney, you know, that's like a whole community in itself. You know, that's a whole society in itself. So they can make it work if they want to. It's just going to depend on, you know, how flexible guys are, you know, how bad they want it.
It's kind of like grown-up camp in a way, it sounds like. They got ping pong at night. They got Xbox in their room and everything.
Exactly. So they can make the most out of it. I mean, obviously, if you're away from family and stuff like that, I don't know what the rules are about, you know, people who can come with them, but that could be probably the toughest part for sure.
So what's your thought on the restart as a whole? Who do you think? I guess who do you think is the favorite to come out on top, and who do you think it favors and whatnot?
I mean, I think you're going to see who's been in the lab and who hasn't during this time. I mean, some people might get exposed. Some are going to be like, well, he's been working this whole time. And so it's hard to call it. I mean, it really is. I mean, they're professionals, so you like to think that everybody's going to come ready. But it's just not always the case. So me personally, I'm a LeBron fan, so like – I'm always going to be like, I think he's going to be ready. But in terms of what team's going to come out on top, we got to wait and see.
Yeah, do you know anyone? I'm a LeBron fan too.
Right.
Do you know anyone playing there right now?
Are you like personally, PJ Dozier was my teammate with the Red Claws, and he just got a signed a full contract with the Denver Nuggets, so that's great for him. So I had talked to him a little bit, and you know, this was a couple weeks ago before they officially announced it, but he was saying that they were gonna bring it back. It was just a matter of when and how. But you know, I've obviously played against several guys in the NBA, and but nobody really knows yet until they actually get there and see how it is. They don't really know.
So yeah. So with that, I guess let's transition before we go talk about what's going on with NBA. We'll take it back to the college years. That's where you and I first met in Wisconsin.
Right.
So obviously you were part of, you know, some of the best teams to come through Wisconsin, four years, two Final Fours, two Sweet 16s. I mean, what's it like playing at a Final Four? I mean, back-to-back years, playing on Monday night. How would you describe that?
I mean, it's almost indescribable because first off, you know, like, what's the percentage? You know, probably 1% of people ever play in the Final Four or less. And then to go back-to-back, you know, you got a half that percentage even more. So it's like we were able to do some pretty amazing things that we knew were special at the time, but like, having you know, even after those first 2 years, and then you go into your junior year and you see like, dang, we came up short, but then that just goes to show like, wow, we really made it that far twice.
Like
the Sweet 16 was a letdown for us, and a lot of people would never make it to the Sweet 16. So, but to play in the actual Final Four, I mean, and I actually played about 30 seconds each game, so I'll take I mean, it was crazy. Like, I was shocked when my name was called. I actually said, I remember perfectly the first time Coach Ryan was like, Vito, go get, and I'm just sitting there staring at the court like, he's like, Vito, go get. I was like, oh, me?
Did you say my name?
Bro, I was like, come on, because I hadn't played like the two or three games leading up to it. You know, I played like the first round and maybe the second round, but like against Oregon and Arizona, hadn't played. So I'm like, ain't no way he's talking about me. He must mean Nigel. He said it again. Yeah. I sprinted in there, promptly got a nice foul. but nah.
Get in the box score. Get in the box score.
Exactly.
One way or another, get in the box score.
Right. So close to a rebound. So close. But but nah, man, it was amazing. And especially after beating Kentucky, I mean, you probably seen the clips of how the hotel was afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's something you can't fathom unless you're there. Like, the video doesn't even do justice to how it really was. It's like we're true rock stars for those few nights. So, yeah, great time.
So starting with that Kentucky game, when you were on the court with guys like Cauley Stein, Booker, guys like that, I mean, could you tell, you know, these guys were going to be good pros? Or how? What are your thoughts when you're playing against them? Can you even think like that? Yeah.
I mean, you never really know how guys are going to pan out. I mean,
yeah.
Because there's been guys on those Kentucky and Duke teams who, like, we all thought were going to be the next, you know, LeBrons, KDs, whatever, and then they just didn't. They kind of fizzled out. And then you got the guys who were like on the team, but they weren't stars. Like, I wouldn't call it Devin Booker a star. I think he averaged 10 or something. I know they did that platoon
system.
He
came off the bench, I think.
And he dropped the 13th pick in the draft, and he's probably the best player, the best NBA player on that team now.
Exactly. So you really can't call it, but, I mean, obviously you knew their team was just loaded top to bottom. So sometimes it's kind of hard to see, like, well, how good are they individually, or are they just all so much better than the average that – when you put them together, they look amazing. But then, you know, on their own, they're not that great. Sometimes you have something like that. But, I mean, you knew Cauley Stein was going to be pretty good. I thought he got better once he got to the NBA. I think he got more skill. But you knew he was going to be athletic and tall and strong and all that. And then same with Booker. You knew he could shoot that thing. You just didn't know to what extent, you know.
Yeah. So.
And so going into that game, obviously, the individual talent that Kentucky had is off the charts and trumps the individual talent that the Wisco team had. But yeah. Are you guys, like, very confident going into that game, thinking, like, we just need to play together and we can definitely beat these guys? Or what's the feeling going into a game like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, for us, because it was our second year in a row, our whole mission from the end of the last season to getting to that point was make it back to the Final Four. We didn't know who we were going to play on the road. We didn't know that we were going to get matched up with Kentucky again. But we knew from day one, like, our goal is the Final Four. It was never like, oh, man, let's go win a Big Ten tournament. Let's go win. That stuff all came as a result, you know what I mean, of the ultimate goal, which was the NCAA tournament, Final Four. So in doing that, I mean, we just set out on that mission, and we accomplished it. And when we got to that game, it was like, yes, this is revenge. Obviously, it's a different team than it was the year before. But it's like, we've been here before. We know what to expect. The jitters are kind of out. Obviously, they're going to – there's 80,000 people there. So yeah, it's going to be nerve-wracking regardless. But it was like, man, we were this close last year. And, like, that was low-key a fluke for us to get there. Like, nobody expected us to make it. We didn't expect that. And so after, you know, we spent a whole year knowing that we can make it again, and we actually made it, then it was like, oh, yeah, we can do this. And we never even looked at, oh, yeah, they'll probably have six guys going to the NBA. That's not a thought that really crossed our minds. It was like, we're here. We're all on the same level now. Like, it's only four teams left. We're the best four. So anybody can win this game. We just got to do what it took to get here. So and that's what happened.
In that Monday night game, that ball go off Winslow's finger. Did you see it sitting right there? I mean, did you guys even think at that point? I mean, I know everyone on Twitter, every Wisconsin fan, now you hear them complain about it every week.
I mean, obviously, like, it's one of those plays where it was like, it was so obvious to us, like, we never even thought it was going to be a review type thing. It was like, oh, that was off him. We're going this way. And then especially when they did review it and they got it on this jumbotron that's bigger than the court, and it's like, we can see it clear as day, and you still call it the other way. You know, it's like, I don't know if that was the Coach K effect or what. But
but it was something.
You hate to blame. Yeah, you hate to blame games on something like that. I'm not saying that we would have won or anything like that, but it's like, let's be fair. Like, let's not make such a big call in the clutches of the game, you know what I mean, that can really sway the whole outcome of the game. So we kind of felt that was a little trash, to be honest. But, I mean, there were obviously some things we could have done better throughout the game.
Yeah.
Maybe some better matchups. They had some players that came, like Grayson Allen and Tyus Jones. You know, they played out of their minds, and we hadn't really prepared for that. So there's a lot of factors, but, yeah, that definitely didn't help.
I feel like during your time there, you had, especially when you became a starter, you had some heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw two of them, and then the last one, senior year, being Chioza. I mean, that still burns me. I still have trouble, and I wasn't.
I played him in the G League every year after, and I just want to. it's.
You ever talk to him about it?
Nah, I haven't talked to him about it. I don't really know him like that, but
yeah,
I think somebody said in our 4 years, we lost by 5 points or less every year in the tournament. Like that. So like you said, all heartbreakers, and you know, some of them were avoidable. I mean, or you always just think like, dang, if we would have did this, like, dang, if we would have got the hand up, or like the Notre Dame game, like.
You know,
we turned it over in the last seconds. Like, man, if we would have just threw it up here, you know, they would have had fouls, yada yada.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Florida, like,
I still think about
minutes.
I mean, I still think about if Nigel should have made that free throw or missed it or not. The one right when he made two, and then.
You talking about Notre Dame?
No, Florida. Because then they called the timeout. And I still wonder if he would have missed it, because in the Villanova game, you missed the free throw, and they couldn't get the rebound, and they got the rebound. They fucked up a full court shot. You just go back and you think about all the little things. That Florida game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna throw guys under the bus here.
No. Yeah.
Florida was definitely on us. Like, it should have never got to that point, because we missed a lot of clutch free throws down the stretch. Yeah. We had a costly. Like, we had a wide open layup, we got it blocked, and then they down, got a layup, and then that's what forced the overtime. So we had chance upon chance, regardless of refs, you know, because like I said, I fouled out with like 7 or 8 minutes left in the game. I'm like, how is that possible? Like, I'm not that much of a headache. But it was, like I said, man, it was definitely a heartbreaker. It was kind of a trash way to go out. But looking back, we can still be proud that we made it, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Do some things in the end, so.
Mm-hmm. When you were playing in college, were there any guys who you played against who you were like, damn, this guy's nasty, and then they just didn't really pan out at the next level, and you were surprised to see that?
Oh, man, it's always tough. It's always tough.
Or vice versa, who, like, you were like, this guy's not that great, and then they just took off once they got to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple guys who I thought were, like, slightly above average, maybe, and like, okay, I'll say Duncan Robinson for sure. Like,
right, yeah,
he's a guy who he's got my respect, like, because I used to guard him all the time in college. That was usually my matchup, and like, he wasn't doing nothing. And now he's out here setting records for rookie 3-pointers and stuff.
Yeah,
like, hey, props to you, man. Like, he's actually a good dude. Now, you know, I've talked to him several times, so that's one. Kendrick Nunn, he's been a surprise for me. Like, I always knew he was a dog. I used to play against him in AAU in high school all the time. So, like, I knew what he could do, but you just never know with scorers like that. Like, will they be able to bring it to the next level? Right. Will the team even allow them to play that role? So
he went undrafted, right?
He was undrafted. He was in the G League there with me. And then, yeah, he worked his way up. So you see success stories like that. That's always good. Obviously, there's probably more than not who didn't pan, you know, who didn't pan out at all, but
yeah, for sure.
I didn't play against many of those guys, I feel like. I mean, DJ Wilson, I thought he was decent at Michigan. And he's doing decent now. So I guess he's doing probably what I expect.
Thomas Bryant had a tough start, and he's turned it around a little bit.
That's true. And I heard he just signed like a 3-year mil. Yeah. He was always a guy who, like, you knew he had some raw skill, and he was just like – super aggressive, super high motor. So, like, at that size, with that motor, like, you'll have some success if you stay in the gym. So, props to him, too, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I remember after you graduated, we worked a lot going, you know, after going to graduation, just working on everything, prepping for post-graduation stuff.
Yeah.
What was it like? Like, what was the pre-draft process like in terms of going to different places, you know, all the planes or cars you had to take to get there? What was it like when you got there? What were the drills like?
So for me, you know, I didn't get the respect that I probably deserved, but whatever. You figure out as you continue to play, like, a lot of this stuff is, you hate to call it political, but like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of stuff is like your name, not your game, who you know, all that good stuff, what agency you're with. So for me, I had an agent who, he was solid, you know, he had Travis Trice. That was probably the other biggest name that he had.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have, you know, like really any workouts with NBA teams lined up. And so then, so I was just training, working out at home. And then the guy, my agent's trainer that he used or whatever from Columbus, Ohio, I was working out with him. And then he was like, well, there's a guy who's on staff with the Milwaukee Bucks who's going to be putting together a workout in Columbus. You know, it's going to be like 20 of the best guys in Columbus. And he's going to, like, put them through, you know, some stuff that they would do and maybe take somebody to G League training camp or something. And like, when you look this dude up, like, you can't find him. So I'm like, I don't know how legit this is. Like, is he even on staff? But apparently he was one of those guys who, like, kind of worked right with Jason Kidd, but like not really on the roster, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he was like, you know, we were working out dumb hard, you know, and then he was like, all right, we got a 3-minute run. And I had never heard of a 3-minute run before. And all it is you're sprinting down and back for 3 minutes straight. Oh, nice. And like that, I don't know how bad that sounds when you say it.
Yeah.
But when I tell you, oh my, like you thought you was gonna die. And he was like, you gotta get 30 touches in 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, let me tell you, that sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
That sounds pretty brutal.
I'm like, 30 touches? And he claimed that the Bucks do it all the time. But as soon as you do the run, you're like, there's no way. There's no way that anybody does this all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, nobody made it. You know, I think I got, like, 25, 26 touches. Good numbers. Yeah. Right, it was decent, yeah. And so then, like, that kind of scared the mess out of me. I was like, I got to start doing this. Like, if this is what's going to be expected, like, yeah. I got to get it to where I'm, like, at least close to 30. So, like, me and the guy I was working out with in BG, I told him about it, and then we would just do it. Like, and I got up to 29 at my peak. I never made it to 30.
Oh, wow.
29, man. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. So anyway, that was I did good enough in that workout to get an invite to the herd training camp. And first I got a workout with the Bucks, right? And and that was random because I was just in Cleveland. Like, my dad was working in Cleveland at the time. I was at the library literally just studying, just working on random stuff. And get a call from my agent, like, the Bucks are gonna fly you out today. Where are you at? I'm like, I'm in Cleveland. Like, I ain't have no clothes left. Like, I had just worked out. So, like, I was only staying for a night. So, the clothes I brought were already dirty and all this. And literally, like, 2 hours later, my dad took me to the airport in Cleveland, flew me out to Milwaukee. And then, they put us up. I got there a few days early. So, I'm thinking, like, oh, no. This is for the workout. So, they put us up in the hotel. I'm like, man, this is next level stuff right here. Put us through the workout. And so it's six people in these pro workouts, right? Six players. And, like, Malcolm Hill was one. He went to Illinois. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I know this dude. And then Zach Irvin from Michigan. So, like, both of them were Big Ten. And then you had, like, three other dudes who I kind of recognized. So it was, like, it wasn't no sprints, which I was, like, happy about. We did, like, some full-court layups and stuff. But where it got tough was, like, all right, 3-on-3. But, like, you start at half court. And, like, for some dumb reason, I was guarding Zach Irvin. In which I'm like, I can guard him, but, like, he is a guard, 6'4".
Yeah.
He's running around all the time. So I'm out here, like, just dying, bro. Like, he wasn't killing me or nothing, but, like, it's taken away from all of my energy.
Yeah.
And so, like, and they would be like, all right, game to five. And, like, that doesn't sound like nothing, but when you got everybody missing and then you got to keep going, and, like, as soon as you miss, they wouldn't let you walk it back to half court. You had to run back to half court and then start right away. And the guy on defense had to pick you up at half. So it was like, we did that for, like, an hour and a half straight, just straight 3-on-3. So, like, I was dead after that. And, like I said, ended up getting invited to training camp after that. And, and then the other team I worked out with was the Sacramento Kings, which also was kind of random, but that's a whole nother story.
So we know you got the TBT tournament coming up starting Saturday. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about your team's chances going in? Big X.
We got a squad, man. We got a squad. Andrew Dagic put the team together mostly. And I played with this team my first year in the TBT, so 2 years ago. But I think me, him, and one other guy, the only three that were on that original team. But, he hit me up a couple months ago about it, and I'm like, well, shoot, like, if the circumstances are all right, like, I'll do it. Like, you know, I'm not in summer league this year or nothing like that. So, and, like, we go back because his dad used to coach at Bowling Green. So, like, I've known him since, you know, fourth and fifth grade. So, we ended up, you know, we're like, all right, well, so we just started kind of building this team. Like, they had, like, five guys already. And I started recruiting some guys that I knew. And eventually we just, like, we got all the pieces that we needed. And, like, two guys had, like, tested positive, you know, for the COVID because they tested us before we even got out here. Mm-hmm. And so then we had to, you know, make some alterations, but it ended up working out kind of in our benefit. Like, obviously, you don't want anybody to have that, but
yeah,
they're all doing fine, so it's not like they're real sick, but I think it allowed us to, like, round out all the positions. Like, we were kind of guard heavy in the beginning, like, four dudes, like, 6'1", and now we, like, so now we got, like, from 6'1 all the way to 6'9", 6'10", and, like, everything in between, so we got a nice squad.
What are your thoughts on – yeah, go ahead, Ari.
So what's the style of the game? Is it more like are you guys running plays? Is it more like a pickup game, more like a real game, or is it, like, really like a hybrid?
It's a super hybrid, man. It's a mix of NBA. It's a mix of a little bit of college principle and then overseas. And, like, even the rule set is a mix of overseas and college. But – yeah, it's going to depend on what team you're on. Like, some teams, because, like, you make your own team, obviously. So some teams are guys who have known each other for years. You know, they play semi-pro somewhere, you know, so they played, you know, hundreds and hundreds of games together. So you got teams like that, and then you got teams that, you know, are alumni teams, so from different eras, though. So, mm-hmm. you know, right. Syracuse, they got you know, right. their team. And then you got teams like us who – We're mostly Big Ten. I think there's only like two or three who aren't Big Ten. And then, like, and we've known each other, but we don't really, most of us haven't played together. You know, you got a few guys from Ohio State, a few guys from Michigan State, three from Wisconsin. So we're kind of all mixed in. But, you know, we get like 4 days of practice before our first game. So some teams have been having training camps for like a whole month, like before this, you know, so. Teams like that, they're probably going to run more plays. They're gonna be a little bit more, you know, in sync on stuff like that. Whereas a team like us, like, we know basketball. We all got a similar style just because of, like, our Big Ten and we're all pros now. So, like, we're going to be able to adapt and, you know, pretty much run and gun, but, you know, have a couple plays here and there. So, yeah, mostly it's going to be like a just a hard-nosed AAU game. With some more principles, you know.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel – what do you feel about Joe Johnson signing with them and Jarrett Jack? That seems a little bit unfair.
They're both old, though, so, you know, I don't know what level that they're playing at. Personally, I would love to play against Joe Johnson just to say I did it, and, you know, I like taking pride in locking guys like that up. So,
DMI.
Yeah, Jarrett Jack was actually in the G League this year.
Was he?
The whole year. I didn't play against his team. He was with the Miami Heat G League team. But so we didn't get to play against him this year. But I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I remember watching this dude in the NBA.
Yeah,
so.
That's crazy.
I remember reading a story about Jarrett Jack. Apparently he's like he's like a low-key NBA legend where he's like – best friends with everybody, and he like links all the I remember reading a Bleacher Report about it. I was like, Jack, good for you, man.
It's random because, like, most people probably wouldn't know his name, but like the real NBA fan would be like, oh, I at least heard or seen so
who knows? Overseas elite has been dominant for a few years now. Maybe this will mess with their chemistry a little bit, you know. Well,
they lost last year.
That was a great game too.
So, like you said, I mean, obviously they've got the most wins under their belt, but this is a tournament that anybody can take it. Right. And especially this year with – because normally this tournament is 64 teams, and this year is 24. And it actually might be less than that because with all the precautions and protocols, like, the way it works is you get tested twice before you even get to the hotel. And, like, once you're in the hotel, you're not allowed to leave, right? But if one guy tests positive after you're already in the hotel, then the whole team is out because you guys have been together. So we've already lost, like, five or six teams, which it's only been, like, five or six positive results.
Yeah.
The team got to go. So it's, like, I think it's, like, they said it's, like, 300-plus people here or something like that. So – those eyes are pretty dang good, you know, yeah. considering. But in the same token, it's like, dang, a lot of these teams, like I said, been having training camp and preparing for this since the last time last year, and then they had to get sent home. So, and like they had three teams on standby in case that happened, and one of the standby teams just got the boot today. So,
oh, wow. or last,
yeah. So like they dropping just my replaced out there. Exactly. So.
So is it still single elimination?
Well, like I think it will be, but if it drops to, because today is like this is our last test before the first game tomorrow, and so if like a bunch more failed or whatever, then you know they might make some adjustments. But they pretty much, I think they said like 16 is the. Like 16 teams would be like the absolute minimum that, you know, that they would want to have. Now we're at 23.
Even with 23 teams, I'm surprised they don't try to reformat it, because I'm sure ESPN would be happy to have. Yeah, I'm sure ESPN would be happy to have more games on right now.
Right,
they're probably looking for content all day.
People are thirsting for the content, so like. Yeah, I think it's going to happen. It's just a matter of, like, how they're going to do it and what they're going to do because, like I said, yeah, like you said, I mean, teams are dropping, but in the same time, like – and another thing that they just put in place is, like, so some teams had a bye, right? Like, the top eight seeds had a bye. So, now when they come in, because they're supposed to be all arriving, like, today and tomorrow, now they're not allowed to practice together. So, like, so they'll, like, have to do individual workouts because if one guy tests positive, then the whole team won't have to – the whole team won't have to go. But
it's crazy.
But, I mean, you know, most of the teams that got byes, they all know each other. They've been playing together. So, like, they'll probably be all right. But it's just still, like, it's kind of crazy, like, the lengths that you got to go through for all this stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy. Hopefully this is gone by next year, and then everything will seem like a cakewalk playing basketball, right?
Yeah.
Like, after going through this,
is Jimmer Fredette's team in it again this year?
Nah, I don't think he's in it this year, man.
He was fun to watch last year.
Right. Yeah. He's one of the top scorers in this thing, if not the top scorer. But
yeah.
But you have all eyes on you. I mean, that's great.
Exactly. So I mean, I'm happy about it. And like you said, I mean, there's no other basketball to really be watched right now. So
yeah.
I think it's a great opportunity. And honestly, couldn't see anybody wouldn't want to play in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah,
and everyone can check out the Big X on ESPN tomorrow at 3:00. Make sure you check. Tune in. We'll be rooting for you guys.
Yeah, thank you for coming, man. Good luck out there.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Peace.